We've gotten so used to His grace that we forget about His awesome, infinite power. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 81. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I am your host. Welcome. It's great to see you today. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today we're reading Job 23 and 24. If you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, you can find it at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Just look for episode number 81. This is a listener-supported show. Costs are ongoing and unrelenting, and I don't take any outside advertisers, so I'm relying on you to help cover the costs. Of course, any donation is very much appreciated, but if you sign up for a weekly, monthly, or quarterly donation, you'll receive early access to the podcast. As soon as I post a new episode, you'll be notified with a link to the show. Sometimes I post shows days in advance, sometimes just the day before. But if you're signed up as a weekly, monthly, or quarterly donor, you'll be notified as soon as the file is put onto my servers. To find out how you can do that, go to lifespringmedia.com/support. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I pray that you would speak to each one who hears. Lord, open our hearts, open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see what you have for us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. Job chapter 23. Job answered, "Today my complaint is again bitter. My strength is weighed down because of my groaning. Oh, that I could know how to find him, come to his dwelling place. I would lay out my case before him, fill my mouth with arguments, know the words with which he would answer, understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me through brute force? No, he would surely listen to me. There, those who do the right thing can argue with him. I could escape from my judge forever. Look, I go east, he's not there. West, and I don't discover him. North in his activity, and I don't grasp him. He turns south, and I don't see. Surely he knows my way. When he tests me, I will emerge as gold. My feet have stayed right in his tracks. I have kept his way and not left it, kept the commandments from his lips and not departed, valued the words from his mouth more than my food. He is of one mind. Who can reverse it? What he desires, he does. He carries out what is decreed for me, and can do many similar things with me. Therefore, I am scared by his presence. I think and become afraid of him. God has weakened my mind. The Almighty has frightened me. Still, I'm not annihilated by darkness. He has hidden deep darkness from me." Job chapter 24. Why are times not appointed by the Almighty? Why do those who know him not see his days? Men move boundary stones. They seize the flock and pasture them. They drive away the orphan's donkey. They take the widow's ox as a pledge. They turn the needy from the pathway, and the poor of the land hide themselves together. Like wild donkeys in the desert, they go out to their labor, seeking diligently for food. The wasteland provides food for them and for their children. They reap fodder in the field and glean in the vineyard of the wicked. They spend the night naked because they lack clothing. They have no covering against the cold. They are soaked by mountain rains and huddle in the rocks because they lack shelter. The fatherless child is snatched from the breast. The infant of the poor is taken as a pledge. They go about naked without clothing and go hungry while they carry the sheaves. They press out the olive oil between the rows of olive trees. They tread the wine presses while they are thirsty. From the city the dying groan and the wounded cry out for help, but God charges no one with wrongdoing. There are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways and they do not stay on its paths. Before daybreak, the murderer rises up. He kills the poor and the needy. In the night, he is like a thief. And the eye of the adulterer watches for the twilight, thinking, "No eye can see me," and covers his face with a mask. In the dark, the robber breaks into houses, but by day they shut themselves in. they do not know the light. For all of them, the morning is to them like deep darkness. They are friends with the terrors of darkness. You say, he is foam on the face of the waters. Their portion of the land is cursed, so that no one goes to their vineyard. The drought as well as the heat carry away the melted snow. So the grave takes away those who have sinned. The womb forgets him. The worm feasts on him. No longer will he be remembered. Like a tree, wickedness will be broken down. He preys on the barren and the childless woman, and does not treat the widow well. But God drags off the mighty by his power. When God rises up against him, he has no faith in his life. God may let him rest in a feeling of security, but he is constantly watching all their ways. They are exalted for a little while, and then they are gone. They are brought low like all others and gathered in, and like a head of grain, they are cut off. If this is not so, who can prove me a liar and reduce my words to nothing? Well, today we had two short chapters in which our brother Job continues to answer his friends, or should I say accusers. Let's look for a moment at chapter 23, shall we? Job says that he'd like to make his case in God's presence. He says, would he argue with me from his position of power? No, I know that he would listen to me. So even though Job feels that God has brought his sorrows on him unjustly, he still trusts that God would listen and give him a fair audience. And then he says that surely God knows that he's been a good man, and that the trials that he's been through are refining him as gold. But even though he trusts God, he's afraid of him because of who God is. I believe this is a healthy fear. I think sometimes, beloved, we take God for granted. We've gotten so used to his grace that we forget about his awesome, infinite power. It's good to be reminded that God is not to be trifled with. The commentator Adam Clark had this to say, "Nothing can humble a pious mind so much as scriptural apprehensions of the majesty of God. It is easy to contemplate his goodness, loving kindness, and mercy. In all these we have an interest, and from them we expect the greatest good. But to consider his holiness and justice, the infinite righteousness of his nature, under the conviction that we have sinned and broken the laws prescribed by his sovereign majesty, and to feel ourselves brought as into the presence of his judgment seat, who can bear the thought? If cherubim and seraphim veil their faces before his throne, and the holiest soul exclaims, I loathe myself when I see God, and into nothing fall. What must a sinner feel, whose conscience is not yet purged from dead works, and who feels the wrath of God abiding on him? And how, without such a mediator and sacrifice as Jesus Christ is, can any human spirit come into the presence of its judge? Those who can approach him without terror know little about his justice and nothing of their sin. When we approach him in prayer or in any ordinance, should we not feel more reverence than we generally do? That's something to think about. I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, our scripture reading is Isaiah 62 through 66. I hope you'll be here. Please consider donating to help produce the podcast. lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.